Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
I'm sure I'd interrupt our discussion. I'm sort of upset.
I know. Drew, I got a couple things to say. First off, I had that horrible thing happen where I had the phone on the charger all evening, except for it was a little bit askew.
It didn't get charged.
Yeah. Although it snaps into place, yeah. It just snaps in a little bit wrong.
Yes.
And so you think you got a 5-hour charge on thing, and then as soon as you get in your car, you flip it open and you hit the power, and it's done. And by the way, I feel naked.
Yeah.
Number raped and naked. Number two, it shouldn't go into the charger unless it's charging.
No.
There's a lot of, it snaps in, it feels the same, except for one ski is a quarter inch high, and it ain't charging.
I got the one that
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
I got the car one that hooks in, and it has to, sometimes it'll just say unable to charge.
Right.
Give you no other notification that you're not in.
Yeah. How does that work with the car charging one, too? Because I've found that it only charges when the key is turned on.
Certain cars.
Yeah, I think I got that
car. Not my car, yeah.
Oh, that's right. And by the way, you know what happened to me the other day, speaking of cars and keys? I had that thing where it was a hot day, and I was a passenger in someone else's car, and we went somewhere, and we got out of the car, and he immediately pulled the keys out and got out, and I had to do that. My window's only half up thing, and he had to get back in and put the keys in and turn it to the on position so I could roll my window back up. What would be the harm in letting you be able to operate things for 30 seconds? And I know half the cars out there have that. What would be the harm in just having them all do that?
Or just why even cut that off at all?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Let the kid listen to the radio when the keys are out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I understand they don't want you running down the battery, or I don't know if it's security. Or I don't know what it is, but how about let us get in the windows up and down?
For 10 minutes after you get in the car anyway.
2 minutes. Would be fine. It's just he pulls the keys out, and then you got to put it back in and turn again so I can finish getting the window up.
You need a windows up button.
Oh,
on the keychain,
That would work when the ignition when the key's out of the ignition.
Yeah.
All right, that's good, Drew. What's up there, buddy boy?
Not much.
You ready to rock?
Oh, we lost that call.
Yeah, that's all right.
Damn.
Well, you waxing on. Let's talk to Stephanie, who's 18. Stephanie?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much. How are you guys tonight?
Doing great.
That's good. And I just wanted to, before I give all props to Dr. Drew, I just want to say, Adam, you are the best. I could listen to your stories, just about your tacos to your trips.
Shut up!
Wow.
Really?
All
thank you.
All that good stuff. You're hilarious.
Wow. I'm going to tell a story tonight. I'm going to make a note to tell some kind of story. I got stories.
Oh.
Yeah. My tacos. Oh, let me tell you. It's going to be big.
You know, I was at the Metropolitan Museum last week in New York, and there's a picture of one of the heirs of the Spanish crown or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a child, and he's got a crow on a leash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
nobility.
The art historians all go, oh, it means something about the future. And I thought, no. They probably figured out this is probably a toy. It's probably a pet.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'd like to get into falconry, too.
Yeah.
With that big leather glove. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's
with those blinders on the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening, Stephanie?
Well, I called really to say thanks to you, Dr. Drew, because my mom is, she's been battling with addiction to painkillers, throughout my entire life. And
uh-oh.
A few months ago, I bought your book, and really coupled with listening to the show and reading your book, it just helped me gain so much insight and information on addiction.
Right.
And as of late, she began abusing painkillers heavily again.
Uh-oh.
And it became apparent she needed treatment. So really, for the first time in my life, I was able to confront her and tell her how I felt about it. And
Stephanie, that's a big deal. That's huge.
Yeah, it really was. I wasn't strong enough, really, to do it before. I would it was always really emotional for me. And I was able to do it, last week.
It's too bad she's high as a kite and doesn't remember anything.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened to the mom experience. The fact that Stephanie was capable of separating to the point of being able to assert herself
but
like
she actually thought she was being confronted by the hamper. Yeah. It was that
or a crow,
far out
attack
of it.
Crows. Could have thought it was a crow. But Stephanie, that's fantastic. Thank you. It's a very high compliment. Was that the book Cracked you're talking about?
Yes, it was, and she wanted to hack it out and everything on her own, and just from everything I learned from you, I knew she, and told her that she had to go into a structured environment and take control of it the right way, so she tried to avoid it, but I confronted her again today, and today she agreed, and I drove her to rehab this afternoon.
Wow, that's a big deal. Now, here's the rest of your job now. Mm-hmm. Go to the family component of treatment and get an Al-Anon sponsor, and you'll be on your way. This
so
will help you.
The treatment
not just her.
Center has a family side.
There'll be a family component of the treatment for sure. Mm. And so just participate in that. Get an Al-Anon sponsor, and you will keep growing. It's great.
I'm picturing sofas covered in the big corduroy at those centers.
Yeah,
the family. There's something weird about those the treatment center furniture.
Yeah, it's all sort of institutional furniture.
Yeah, but it's a step up from prison furniture.
It's all
there's
got
something
wood,
a little weird
wood,
about it.
Wood, the chairs with the sort of the arm that becomes part of the base of the chair.
Yeah, and the carpet's a step up from the outdoor carpet. It's outdoor carpet, but it's blue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has got a weird smell to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see stuff like stashed away, like building blocks and Play-Doh, and you think, I've never seen kids actually touch that stuff, but yet there it is.
So the chairs
coffee
are all like
table.
This.
Yeah.
This is the arm of the chair.
Who's drawing the chair? But don't they all have the same smell, too?
Yeah, cigarettes. Cigarettes and coffee.
Were they all built in the exact same year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. They're furnished in the same year, anyway.
79?
Yeah.
All right.
How I draw. Isn't that good?
Yeah, Drew, that's awesome. Amazing. Nothing you drew. Are you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Let's talk
Thank
to
you, Stephanie.
Let's talk to Gene, who's 19. Gene?
Hello.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I don't know. Let me tell you something I thought was funny.
Gene is not 19.
You think she's like 12?
I think it's a boy. Is it a male? Oh, it's a girl. I see. Okay, got it.
Gene the chick.
Got it. I was thinking it was a male. That's why it didn't sound 19 to me.
Hmm.
What were you going to say? What?
I was going to say something, but you know what else I just thought of?
Huh.
You know what I like to do? I like to play a game where you took all the genes and you took the names that were ambiguous. I mean, would go male or female.
Right.
And what do you think? More female genes, more male genes?
Male genes.
Male genes?
But most of the male genes spell it, I bet, G-E-N-E.
Well, don't worry about how it's spelled. Yeah. I'm just saying the word gene.
More male genes.
All right. What about Terry's? Ooh.
That's a hard one.
See, that's why the game gets tough.
Yeah, I think more female
Terry. Wager
depends
on
the age.
Terry?
If you go like in the 67-year-old.
No, more walking the planet as we speak.
Female?
Yeah.
Nah. Really?
I have no idea. But that's why you got to play the game, Drew.
Great game. I want to play. I want to know. What's the answer?
All you got to do is ask Engineer Chris, and in 4 short days, you'll have a non-answer. Gene?
Hello.
Yeah, 4 days later, Engineer Chris will be like, there's more Larrys that are male. No, we said Terry.
What about Chris?
Hold on. What about Chris?
There you go.
What about Chris?
Males.
Males?
Christopher.
Yeah.
There's
a fair amount of Chris chicks.
There are, but they're mostly Christines or Christies.
I'm counting the Christines.
Yeah.
Gene?
Yes.
All right, what's up?
Okay, I have a question. Not recently, but I've had what I can only think to describe as a female wet dream. Mm-hmm. I've had really intense orgasms in my sleep while I've had dreams about having sex.
Right.
And I'm not really sure. I was just wondering what that is.
That's a wet dream. That's a nocturnal.
Yeah, not be touching myself or anything like that. I'll just have these really intense orgasms in my sleep.
Right. That's normal.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but I'm just wondering what that is.
That's a wet dream. It's a wet dream. That's a nocturnal dream. That's a nocturnal emission. That's a wet dream. Women have those, too.
Is that just like basically me just getting so excited in my sleep that I have an orgasm?
Basically, it's a way of your body just sort of spontaneously discharging itself. The males have a plumbing issue. This stuff has to come out at a certain point, and so it will come out. In women, you know, they can be sort of charged up enough that this can happen spontaneously. Some women, not all women.
Mm-hmm.
Because the orgasms have been more intense than most that I've ever had.
Mm. In your sleep.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm definitely lucky that I can have it.
Yeah.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do.
And you have orgasms?
Honestly, almost every single time we have sex.
You have orgasm?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, you're good.
You're just wired that way.
What's going on, Gene? You working?
Yes, I am. I have a couple jobs. Actually, I just quit one of my jobs, which I'm very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I was working at a car dealership as a receptionist.
Yeah. All salesmen at car dealerships are dicey.
They're just weird. Car dealerships are some of the weirdest places ever in the world.
Now, are you the cashier, or you go when you go in at the service department at the end and present your bill?
I used to do that, but I'm where I was more of a receptionist by the end.
You guys have this clear vacuum tubes where you send the invoices through the tube and it goes all the way across the thing and pops out down
definitely
in the mechanic's
not, but that'd
bag.
Be pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have those?
No, but I know they have them at banks.
Yeah. All right. Well, my dream is to get a job at one of those places that actually has one of those. I would just be sending things back. I'd put the stapler in there.
Whatever, anything.
I'd defecate in the tube, send a dookie across the showroom
floor. Snotshot.
I would just anything someone wanted. Like, Fred, you want some coffee? Yeah, let me put it in the tube. I'll put it in the tube. The coffee maker's right here. It's going in the tube. It spills all. That's going in the tube. I would just send stuff back and forth. My paycheck, I would insist they put in the tube and send to me. Nothing better than that vacuum tube. You know what I like? You know when in houses they got that centralized vacuum?
Yeah.
That thing's a waste of time.
Really? Why?
Who needs it?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what isn't a waste of time. In kitchens, in nice houses and kitchens, where the little toe kick area is, there's a little vacuum. So you sweep up the kitchen, and instead of getting down with the dustpan, kick this thing open, brush it right into it, sucks it right out.
Nice.
Little flap, or like a mail slot where the toe kick is.
Remember where the kitchens of the future had everything on the counter? You put your blender, screw it into the countertop.
Yeah, that never did work out.
No.
Now, one of my houses had a toaster, when I bought it, had a toaster that was built in to the wall. You'd pull the thing out.
Now here's the assumption of all that kind of crap. These things, never going to break.
Never going to break, ever. But here was the whole thing about the toaster that went into the pocket in the wall. It had like a little doghouse. You'd pull it and come out, you make your toast, and you slide it back in.
Yeah.
First off, my toaster is 6 inches by 9 inches. What am I doing, tripping over it every morning when I walk into the kitchen?
Yeah, it's so ugly,
I got like 700 board feet of counter space. There's plenty. I could have 8 toasters. Right. I wouldn't care. Right. I like the way it looks. It smells nice. Right. It's shiny. I can see my reflection. So, A, you're operating under the assumption that I'm stepping into the toaster every night when I'm getting a glass of milk, number one. Number two, this thing was funny because it went back into the wall, and it was only about 2 inches underneath the cabinet.
The
upper cabinet. So here's the thing that was funny. You could put... And it, when it came out, it didn't get further than the upper cabinet.
Right.
So the bread would go in because you could flex it and slide it in. But when it actually made toast, it would pop up and hit the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to snap it to get it out.
That's great. That's the space age.
Talk about time saver, though.
Yeah.
Keith?
But remember, the kitchen was heading towards some sort of window that would present us with our food.
Yeah. My dad's house had one of those blenders that was built into the countertop.
Yeah.
It had a little knob.
Is that the house you're redoing now?
Yes.
It still has that?
Yeah. Which, of course, the knob busts off, and then you have to hit it with vice grips. But what are you doing? Are you blending every day?
And the blender's never going to change, never going to break, never going to be another piece of equipment like this.
You break the thing, it never works again. All right. You ready? And then all that happens is my sister gets her hair caught in. Keith?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, guys, I got a huge problem, and I need your help on this.
Here we go.
When I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, right, I can't finish.
Right.
Like, I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. I've done it before with other girls, but this girl, I can't.
How long you been with this girl?
It smells bogus from
here.
Been here
like 8 months.
He smells anxious, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you real nervous about this one for some reason?
Well, I don't think I'm nervous. I mean, we're going to be getting married and all that, so
I wouldn't say we're nervous about it. Has not much riding on this relationship or anything, so what's the big deal?
Why are you getting married?
Oh, because this chick, she's amazing.
See.
She's just incredible. And she's like the hottest girl I've ever been with, which is why this is really getting to me, man.
Right, but let's take a look at your track record. That ain't saying much. You've been pigs, Keith. Let's be honest.
My track record isn't too bad.
You've been pretty drunk.
I've been what?
You've been drunk when you were with a lot of those chicks. If you saw them, you know, at noon,
maybe once
sober.
Or twice.
Yeah. So, Keith, what are you doing? Roofing?
No, actually, I'm a security officer. Security guard, whatever you want to call it.
Officer sounds better, but also feels
it sounds
like
more
overcompensation.
I like it.
Doesn't feel right for a 20-year-old to be an officer.
No. Keith, she's beautiful. Where'd you meet her?
Actually, I met her at where I used to work before, at a pizza place.
Mm-hmm. And was she a patron there, or was she working there?
No, we were co-workers. And then I ended up leaving because I got this job. Mm-hmm. And, we you know, hit it off when we met.
All right. Have you had an orgasm with her before when you're having sex?
Yeah, once.
Once?
The first time.
What was different about that?
Huh?
What was different about that first time?
It was the first time. That was the only difference. That was the first time we had sex together.
So nothing different about it, other than the first time.
Nothing like crazy different.
I'm saying it wasn't like a more safe environment, or you were able to last longer, or she wasn't more into it or involved with you, or something different about it than what you're doing
now. Nothing that I noticed, but I'll tell you what, I'm the most oblivious guy on the planet. So if
we're getting that, by the way. Yeah, we got
that. All
right, so,
Keith,
by the way, well done.
I like that. You've had sex with her for the last few months and no orgasm ever?
Yeah, and it's nuts because, I don't know.
All right,
man,
quiet down.
One of those girls that calls in and tells you she can't orgasm, you know?
All right, how about, quiet, how about during oral sex? Could you have one that way?
You know what? We don't really do oral anymore. I don't like it.
Oh, okay. Well, we have nothing more to talk about.
Is there? I can speak with them though. You know, I can.
I really can't be a party to it.
No, I know that. I know it's offensive.
If you
want to
talk to Keith,
you just
enjoy oral sex.
Sing the alphabet.
No, I'll be over here. You guys talk.
Keith, how long do you guys go before you give up?
I don't know. The longest we've gone is probably about 45 minutes. And after that, she gets tired. You know, she can't.
And you were able to finish yourself off?
On occasion. Sometimes I can't even do that. I mean, because we try so hard that I'm so tired that both of us are just exhausted.
But maybe you ought to work that angle first. Mm. Get to the point where you're pretty near where you need to be and then sort of finish up.
Baby steps.
Okay?
Baby steps. Strokes.
It sounds to me they're just overwhelmed by this girl for some reason. She really makes you very anxious.
Well, wait. I'm back with you, Keith. But please, no more comments about not liking oral sex.
How dare
you? Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just like
it. All right. Listen, you've said enough.
No, he's just so into this one that he's got to dive into the action every time.
You, when you masturbate, before, like, what were you good for? Once a day?
Oh, man. Dude, I was the king, bro. I could do it 3-4 times a day if I wanted to.
And what position would you be in?
I don't know, standing up, laying down.
Any position, any time.
Didn't matter to me, though.
All right. I think you need to get in the position that you're most used to masturbating in with her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no.
I could do that.
Do that. Well, now, here's the thing.
And also, he should masturbate ahead of time to get himself sort of geared up, because that's the one thing he can do. He's good at that.
Yeah, I just, you know, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of guys who beat off in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I'm going to do because I'm sure that's where they'd find me.
Impaled
on a towel rack.
Yeah.
Handful of Prel in one hand and some laminated porn in the other.
Where's that laminated porn you were going to put out?
Whoever found me, I just hope would have the decency just to rip the shower curtain off and immediately cover me with it so the loved ones wouldn't have to see, you know, with the hand, you know, pry the fingers open, get the laminated porn out of there. But, okay, here's the thing. A lot of guys beat off in the shower. They do it from 13 to 18, and then they get a woman, and the next thing you know, they're on top in missionary position and are wondering why they're having a little bit of trouble. Well, the last 18,000 times they had an orgasm, it was standing up in a body of water.
Yeah.
And now they're on top on a comforter, so they're confused.
Yeah.
So I think Keith needs to get in the position his penis is most comfortable in and see if he can have the orgasm.
The other
thing,
though, it does sort of point out how interesting the emotional system is in terms of, on a subtle level, affecting all this, isn't it? You know, he's not aware that he's anxious, and yet it shuts down a major biology for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And you wonder how Keith would do at home plate with two outs and a man in a scoring position.
Whether he would be the guy that hairs out.
Yeah, maybe it's the same guy.
Maybe. Ask him. I'm curious. He might be able to tell us.
He doesn't know.
Maybe he'll tell us. He might say, I really like that, or I hate that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Be prepared to be,
I will be.
Unsatisfied. Keith?
Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as a clutch guy other than in the bedroom?
Like, okay, define that. I don't know.
Would you like being a closing pitcher?
Would I be a closing pitcher?
Would you like to do that?
Oh, I could do that.
Would that be fun for you?
Yeah.
Well, did you play sports in high school?
Oh, I played a little baseball, so yeah, I know kind of what you're talking about as far as closing pitcher.
Would you like to be up in the ninth inning or seventh inning? I think you might play two outs, you know.
You
would?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And you think you would come through?
I said bring it on. I like that kind of stuff.
All right. Well,
he sounds so much like the guy we did that crank anchors thing with.
Let's bring that same attitude into the bedroom, would you, buddy?
You know what? I'm going to.
Put a little pine tar on that bat, choke up, and let's make contact in the bedroom. Yes, Drew?
Doesn't he sound like the guy we did that crank anchors episode with?
Yes, he does.
I mean, really like him.
But I think there's millions of men like that in this country.
Evidently.
Leah?
Yeah?
We got to take a break, but you're 26?
Yeah.
You're lesbian?
Yes.
Your girlfriend's a squirter?
Yeah.
Wow. That's got to be rough on the lesbos because it's all about the oral.
No. Like you.
No, not really.
It's not all about the
oral.
It's not all about the oral.
No.
You guys use toys?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
You know, well, in that case, you just get the... You get the strap on with the big cop
apron.
Motorcycle fairing on it.
Fairing.
It's big glass in front of you. You know, it's like a riot.
Oh, like a riot gear. Police. Yes, yes.
No, it's like
a shield.
A cop motorcycle fairing.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Windshield.
Yeah, big. You know what a fairing is?
I never heard of fairing. Never
really?
Heard of it. Yeah.
I guess one of those weird things.
It's windshield, basically?
Yeah, I think windshield on a motorcycle is a fairing.
Interesting.
But you might also be called that. On anything that's like open but has a windscreen, but not a car. Fairing. Chris.
Look up fairing.
Look up fairing.
F-A-I-R-I-N-G, fairing?
I have no idea, but look up fairing. I want to find out the definition of that.
I'm on it.
Let's take ourselves a little break, and then look in the mirror and look up fairy.
Fairy.
Thank you. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll get back with Leah and her squirting girlfriend after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew just spent 15 minutes of our four-minute break looking up fairing, and he found out the definition of fairing.
A protecting outer surface that reduces drag.
Oh.
On aircraft.
Boy.
Vehicles.
Or motorcycles.
Now this is wonderful.
Huell Hauser, everybody. Drew, have you seen Huell yet?
No. Oh, yes, I saw him once.
Where was he? At the churro factory?
No, he was like on the coast, California coastline, looking at stairways and things.
Staring at a lighthouse.
I didn't think got to the lighthouse. He was sort of looking at the walkways and flowers. And
I like when he goes places and looks at stuff that's not there anymore.
Mm.
So what was here? Well, the old Northwest Lighthouse stood here, Huell, from 1877 to 1944 when a typhoon took it out. 1944. That's right, Huell. It was taken out in 1944 by a Class 4 hurricane, and nothing left but the foundation. So this is the foundation. That's right, Huell. Where you're standing is where it stood nearly 60 years ago.
Right.
60 years ago! It's at the point where he's now at the point where stuff ain't even there anymore.
Right. He's talking about it.
He ought to really just go to, like, Arizona. And this was a swampy mire right here, Huell. There was marine life here. Right here!
Yeah, 500 billion years ago.
Huellhauser is the only guy I know who can make people who produce a product bored with their product. They actually don't like it.
Hey, how about the fact that the deep throat thing was
the Grand Ballroom, and it is grand.
Your family has been producing chorizo in the San Fernando Valley for over 77 years. That's right, Huell. My grandfather came here from... Your grandfather came here from... Huell, I'm going to shoot myself if you keep repeating what I'm
saying. Shoot yourself.
Shoot yourself. And, Huell, this is the loading dock. This is the loading dock. It's like... Poor people are like, I want to kill myself. Some huge guy standing in combat boots. It looks like he could crush you with his bicep, but he's like a baby Huey guy, and he's so enthusiastic that everyone just has to be nice to him. And only in publicly funded realms could this thing go on for 30 years.
Right. That's right.
All right, Drew. What were we saying about Deep Throat?
Did you hear that they uncovered who that was today?
Who Deep Throat was?
Yeah.
Oh, who Deep Throat from
Watergate?
Watergate was?
He stepped forward today.
Well, now, for those of our listeners who weren't born yet, Watergate, big
scandal.
Thing that went on with Nixon, like 1972 or something, Watergate Hotel, and James and Woodward. And
Bob Woodward.
Woodward and, oh, what the hell? What's the other guy's name?
Can't remember.
All right. Anyway, they... their secret source that broke the story was named Deep Throat, and he was gone, and no one knew who he was for 33 years.
It turns out he was like the assistant director of the FBI.
Bernstein and Woodward?
But I think so.
All right. Yeah. Let's check that with Chris during the break.
Chris. Just look at Bob Woodward. Just look that up.
All right. Let's take a look at Leah over here, who we were talking to before. Leah?
Yeah.
26.
Yes.
Your girlfriend's a gusher.
Yes, she is.
And
I was just wondering, is there a way that I could do that also? I've done research on the internet, and they say only like 1 in 4 women are.
If that, you know. That's a generous number.
No kidding.
But there are people that claim they can teach women to do this. I don't believe that that's true.
Well, you could probably do it with some modifications on those kits where you have to be tested, where you get your urine tested.
Mm-hmm.
And like a little tube and a pouch and a bladder, and you go in and, you know, the thing runs down your underpants and you can, you know what I mean? Like, you could probably pull it off with
mechanically.
Mechanically, but I don't know if you could be taught organically or biologically to do it. You okay with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just fantastic, so I just wanted to participate,
really?
I guess.
Did you guys use strap-ons?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
And that's when she gushes?
No, it's when my fingers are inside her, actually. Well, sometimes with the strap-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But more when I'm, you know, digitally.
All right.
From the inside.
Right.
Huh. So that's a rare breed.
Why,
right there.
Why bother being a lesbian and using a strap on? You know what I mean? Like, gay guys don't use a strap on vagina.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just more
Hold
of
on,
an extension.
I think I'm a man.
You're onto something here. Well.
Yeah. The ass vagina.
Well, that's maybe why they actually have something they can use.
It's the guy strapping it on. It's like, my nuts keep hitting. You got on backwards. Spin it around there, Larry. There you go. You know what I mean?
But men have something they can use, a version of... You know, women don't have something that they can use as an alternative.
I'm just saying, the whole point of being a dyke is to get away from the penile.
Yeah.
Why strap one on?
But not from a phallus. See?
You mean everything, all the baggage that comes with the penis.
Yeah, what's connected to the penis.
Emotional, the emotional demand.
It's just what's connected
so
to the penis.
So the penis is fine, it's the man that it's attached
to. Yeah, and a phallus, you know... There's all sorts of theories about the meaning of a phallus psychologically and things separate from the penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. wants to give boyfriend anal sex? Lesbian?
What?
Hey, Adam?
Yeah.
It's Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein.
Carl Bernstein. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Well done.
I said Bernstein, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Stormy?
Yes.
Thank you, Chris.
Where does Stormy rank on your list of names?
Well, it's a bogus name. Stormy?
How is it a bogus name?
You know the song? There's a song. Oh, Stormy.
Stormy with her.
Hmm? No, not that song.
What's
that?
Huh?
No, what's that?
My parents were hippies or something.
Do you know the song? The Stormy song?
Uh-uh. No. I've never heard of it. I'm sorry.
All right. Let me say something I'm endlessly amused at. I understand it, but I'm endlessly amused at it. When people have fairly famous songs of their unique names and don't know the song.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to me.
You would think.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a pretty famous song from the 60s called Stormy or whatever, where the chick's name is Stormy. It's 20 years before she was born, but she still should know it. Shouldn't people bring it up to her?
You would think.
One would think. Stormy?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Not much.
Mm-hmm. Drew, you know the song?
Uh-huh. Even I do.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Sing a little of it.
Oh, I don't know if I can sing it. I just want to hear a song.
Oh, Stormy. Oh, so bring back that summer day. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, it's interesting. When you start...
yeah, thank you.
Waxing about the song, it gets more obscure to me.
Thank you. Go ahead, Stormy. Popular song.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, no, I was wondering... Okay, I haven't brought this up to my boyfriend, but I was wanting to have anal sex with him, but I wanted to give him anal sex. And I was wondering if that was, I mean, if that was normal for me to even...
Well, you should wait till his birthday.
How would you go about doing it?
I don't know. I haven't even really talked to him about it. It's just something...
Well, just like, what's your fantasy? Obviously, this is something you have a fantasy about. What would it be?
Well, I don't really have it planned out. I just want to have anal sex with him.
And how would you go about doing that? You're going to use your penis?
I don't... A strap-on. I don't have...
Okay, yeah, just asking. Just ask what you're...
Make sure you make things abundantly clear when you talk to him about it, because it could be one of those things where, for your birthday, I'd like to give you some anal.
Right.
Fantastic. His pants fly off. His parents are still standing in the room. He's excited. And then there's like that uncomfortable part in the bedroom. Huh? What? No, but I didn't.
And what if he's not into that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, my biggest thing is I'm wanting to know, I mean, is that normal for me to want something like that? Because
it's an aggressive act.
No, it is not normal.
Okay.
But whatever.
It doesn't make you a bad person.
Right. A lot of things have specific meaning to us. This does not have specific meaning to us.
No, but this falls under in the general, like, let's put it this way, Drew. Okay, hold on a second, Stormy. There's certain things that have very specific meanings.
Yes.
Like, okay, she wants me to beat the crap out
yes,
of her.
Right.
And she wants to call me mommy and daddy and all that. Okay, dad beat her up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that means. We have all sorts of stuff that means all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This one just falls into the general effed up bin in our department.
Yeah, this isn't like, huh? This isn't the huh bin.
Yeah, this is sort of guys who want to sniff shoes kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's
like,
I don't know exactly where this came from, but we're just going to file it under effed up.
Yeah.
And does it mean you're going to go on to a life of serial killing?
No. Does it mean you can't have relationships?
No, but I'll keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
And if you're a date my daughter kind of thing, I wouldn't be happy about it.
It's female.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about the shoe sniffing, or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is that person who you see hanging out in front of the shop, doesn't quite look like a hobo, not quite like a criminal,
but you
not
keep
quite
an eye
a gangbanger.
Keep an eye on
But you just keep an eye on them so they look a little bit off. Yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I would do with Stormy. Just keep an eye on them.
I have a feeling, my instinct is, this is going to turn into something else. This is a certain impulse now, but it's going to be a more elaborate impulse later.
All right, let's do a little prodding.
Yeah,
Stormy.
Yes.
Any problems with Daddy? Said you have a hippie dad, hippie parents.
Well, I had really odd parents. They actually, both my parents were stoners, and I mean, they were just
stoners,
right?
Yeah.
Well, they can be kind of neglectful.
Yes. And narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, I mean, I knew my dad for part of my life, but not like...
What happened? He just split to Florida at some point?
he'd leave and be gone for like a few months or whatever. And then
he's a rambling man, Adam. He's a rambler. He's a hippie. He's rambling.
Well, he had to ramble. All right. Where is he now?
Actually, I have no idea. I haven't talked to him in 3 years.
Okay. Well, that'll lift you up.
Yeah, it makes you feel, have some unpleasant... I just feel like this is going to turn into something else. You're going to want more elaborate kinds of aggressive acting out with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you stop? Why don't you nip it in the butt? I don't think. And by the way, you don't want him to want this.
Okay.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
In a way, because I'm like, in a way, I was kind of thinking, well, if he'd want this, he would be gay.
He wouldn't be gay. But he would be in the, we'll keep an eye on him, Ben,
he'd
too.
He'd be in the effed up Ben, too. He'd have to keep an eye on him. He'd have to keep an eye on you. Before you know it, it'd be a spy versus spy. Okay?
And the brown eye.
Right. And the brown eye. That is a great, series. Nancy Drew.
Yes, spy
book.
Versus spy.
And the brown eye.
Yeah.
All right, Stormy. How about giving it up? He ain't daddy.
All right. There we go.
Oh, these poor girls with their dads who ain't around. Drives them nuts.
And you can imagine this guy, too, putting it all on her. Honey, I'm just wonderful to be here. You're 5 years old now. I just love spending time. You're the apple of my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to ramble now.
Yeah.
Now I got to do what I got to do. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine. You'll be fine. I love you. I always think of you. I'll see you next year. Oh, okay, yeah, I love you.
Well, the whole thing with the hippie movement is that kids aren't kids. They're little adults. They're little individuals.
Adults.
Everyone's an individual.
Right.
But if you think about it, it's all a great setup for you just to split.
Right.
Or you not to do any parenting.
Right, because the kid can take care of themselves.
He's a 9-year-old. He's a little adult.
And what does he need me for? I love him dearly. He knows that.
He knows I
see
love him.
See him in a year.
Yeah. And listen, if you love something, set it free.
Hmm.
If it comes back. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about those idiot hippies. My mom is a stupid hippie. I love stupid hippie friends.
And it really was one of the most egregious movements this country's ever had.
I know. Look at me. I'm a mess.
I know. And it was perpetrated on kids.
I mean, I know.
But it was perpetrated on kids. This is the thing that was really awful about it.
Yeah.
People want to go spin out by themselves or whatever. But
yeah.
It's all perpetrated on kids.
I was thinking about the whole thing, and Jesus Christ, it was all just this crazy brainwashing stuff. My mom is all paranoid about everything. And we've talked about this before, but it's been a while, which is my mom had these sort of conspiracy theories about the man and about everything, you know, from microwave ovens giving you, you know, brain cancer to fluoride in the water, you know, rotting your bones out. Fluoride in toothpaste was bad for you. And preservatives were going to kill you, and food, everything was going to kill you. But there's one thing they missed, and they missed it completely. And it turned out, when the dust settled and all the data came back, to be the only thing that actually did any damage, and that was his son. Now, it was funny, because my mom would be like, stay away from that food. It has red dye number 3 in it. Stay away from the microwave. It's going to give you brain cancer. Stay away from the fluoride. We brush your teeth with baking soda. Don't use toothpaste. It's got fluoride in it. That's going to rot your brains. Meanwhile, I'm in cutoffs in the middle of the summer. I'm out in the front lawn playing with the sprinklers for 9 hours at a time.
With no
shirt
sunscreen.
Off. And no way.
Yeah.
And no put a shirt on or get in the shade or put a big brim hat on or anything. Go down the beach. There was never any. You know why? Because the sun, not created by the man.
It's pure. It's nature.
It's nature.
Right.
It can't hurt
and
you.
Everything nature is good. The only thing that happens, the only reason you get old is because of the man. The only reason you get sick is because of the man.
Right. The man is trying to poison you, but nature, man, that's good. So the sun is nature. That can't hurt you. Microwave, that's invention of the man. That's going to kill you. Well, as it turns out, sun is the thing that gives you cancer. Microwave does nothing but heat your goddamn coffee. Idiots.
Speaking of which.
Such idiots. Oh, my God.
It really, it's so uncomfortable to think about living life like that.
It is uncomfortable. I was trapped like a hamster in a hellish habit trail. Here's the point. The point is the sun now is the one thing that does it, and it's the only thing they didn't care about. And as a matter of fact, every picture and everything with some little kid on the beach and is naked or in his shorts, you know, staring up at the sun, running around, frolicking in the sun. It was all about being outdoors. Just, they dropped me off at the public pool at 10 in the morning, pick you up at 4 in the afternoon. And not one thing of, you know, put a shirt on, go get in the shade. Yeah, that's the one thing they missed, was the one thing that actually caused some damage. Yes, sir?
How about all the crap you get exposed to in the public pools and blah, blah, blah. We can't give you any vaccines because the man does that.
He's trying to poison, man. What's everyone to die? All right, let's take a little break, Drew.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll speak to Joe. Girlfriend wants to know if semen has nutritional value. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Let's keep rocking and rolling with the show. Ready to go, Drew?
Ready. Here we go.
Let's talk to Joe.
Yep.
Joe.
Yes?
Bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead. Ask the question.
It's bogus already.
It's a simple and easy one. Go ahead.
You got one syllable into his answer. It's bogus.
I was curious about the nutritional value of sperm.
Why were you curious about that?
Came up on the way home from a movie.
Is your girlfriend there? She's the one that wants to know about it?
Yes.
But you want to be fine.
So we should tell her it has 12,000 calories?
Put her on.
You want to tell her that?
Okay.
Turn your radio off.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Well, it just sort of, you know, popped into my head. Well, is there any nutritional value in this?
Well,
not bogus. But
it's like asking how much nutritional value is in sand.
Or snot.
Right.
How much of it do you eat a year?
Well, not only that, there's about one calorie, five calories per
Okay,
emission.
So what is it made of primarily? What is the composition of?
Mucopolysaccharides.
Okay. Is it a protein?
There are some protein in there, but it's mostly just these long molecules that have no value.
Okay.
Like mucus. It's mucus. Right.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, what are little boys made of? Like
mucus and snot and
snails.
Puppy dog tails.
Puppy dog tails, yeah. It's not sugar and spice and everything nice.
Right.
It's
something
about snails and puppy dog tails.
The snail part is what we're focusing on here.
Yeah.
Well, curiosity sort of killed it for me then.
What is your accent? Where are you from?
I want to know.
Where are you from?
I am Mexican and Lebanese.
Mexican and Lebanese?
Yeah.
This is not a Spanish accent.
Excuse me?
It's a rough combo there, my friend.
Well, I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
I am 5 years older than my fiancé, and I want to know if there are any problems we need to look out for, being that, you know, that it's not like the traditional thing. This is the first time I've ever dated.
No, the only thing is fertility issues. You need to get right to it.
Yeah.
In reality, the five-year age difference really sort of brings you closer to alignment.
Yeah, you mean sexually or just in just maturity and whatever?
Maturity and biologically and whatnot. And also living, you're going to live 5 years longer, so you know, you should be a little older.
No, I mean, most of these...
10 years longer.
What is it now, Drew? How much longer do women live than men?
I think it's a close to 10 years.
Close to 10 years.
Yeah.
Where's our little ribbon that we wear? You know, you guys got your breast cancer stuff, and you got your AIDS stuff, and you got all that stuff, your ovarian cancer stuff. Where's our little ribbon for dying 10 years earlier than you guys?
Yeah.
Little blue ribbon on there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's what we need to focus on.
The years of our lives given to hard work, is what you're saying?
Well, let's look at it this way. Everyone's pretty concerned. Like, here's the deal with you chicks. You want us to get on board with the breast cancer. You want us to get on board with the ovarian cancer. You want us to get on board with all the feminine-related problems. I mean, whether it's a form of cancer, it's a disease, or a syndrome, or whatever it is. We got dudes working on this stuff. Dudes, by the way, smart guys, working on this stuff. What are you guys doing about the fact that you live 10 years longer than us? And I'm not saying you need to bring us up, but why don't you guys come down?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, why not?
You guys start smoking or do something. Or maybe don't work so hard on these breast cancer things. I'm just saying, you guys live 10 years longer than us. That's a big deal. Does anyone want to talk about that? And why do you think that is? Why? Because you guys work just as hard as we do? That's the 75 cents on a dollar, by the way, that you guys always complain about.
It's not clear that that's it, though. It may just be a genetic thing.
It is to me.
I mean, probably a genetic thing.
No. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. You want to know what it is?
It's working in coal mines.
I'll tell you what it is, Drew.
Tell me.
You have two cars. They're both Toyota Camrys. They're both exactly the same. They're both 2005 year models.
Yeah.
One of them has a salesman who puts $70,000 on a year and drives the hell out of it. Even if he changes the oil regularly, he's just driving. The other one gets parked in the garage. It gets so walked around the block every once in a while and put back in the garage.
If your theory is correct,
which one lasts longer?
If your theory is correct, we should start to see women's age expectancy decline.
If I believe, I know it sounds like you've heard it before, but I think stress is a big killer.
Here's why I think the grind and the stress part does it for guys. Here's why I don't think. You saw your grandfather when he was like 92 or something?
Yeah.
Compare him at 92 to your grandmother at 95.
Well,
women are just genetically much hardier in their 90s. They just can tolerate it better. Men are wretched, awful, horrible creatures that shouldn't live that long.
Yeah, they're
just awful.
Well, that's true. How dare you attack my grandfather?
I'm just saying you saw it.
Horrible creatures.
No, he was a wonderful man.
How dare you?
Sure he would describe himself.
Did you hear what he called my deceased, my beloved grandfather?
Let's take a break. Let's go outside.
The only good one in the goddamn family. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. I know what you're saying. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Dan Finnerty is in here tomorrow night from the Dan Band. I've been picking on Engineer Chris all night, but I'm going to continue. Did you figure out whether you graduated yet from junior college? I know the jury's been out on it, although I suspect no, because as of the end of May, he said he didn't know if he was going to be graduating, so I'm guessing that's...
I'm still working on it, dude.
But it's time to apply for fall schedule.
Yeah, I need to pass through this class first, and it's rough.
Oh.
Biology. Yeah.
Oh. Not good. Yeah, I failed biology.
Turn yourself up, please, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
What's the problem with biology? That's something I know something about.
Have Drew tutor you.
It's hard.
What don't you like?
It's not that I don't like it.
What are you having trouble learning?
Just the stuff. I don't know.
A particular topic that you don't, that is not getting in?
He doesn't like stuff.
No.
The photosynthesis or the cell function.
Chris,
right.
Cell anatomy, cell biology.
Let's forget about school and you. Could we?
No, I'm going to pass, dude. I'm going to pass.
He passed that math class you were giving him grief about.
Yeah, I did.
I know, but...
It took me a while.
What's the plan?
The plan is I pass. I graduate.
But you're not going to graduate this year. Are you?
He's going to graduate when he graduates.
Yes, I'll graduate when I graduate.
But you're not going to be this year, right?
I don't know. We're
in June tomorrow, right?
Right, right, yeah.
And when's graduation? Middle of June?
I guess. I have to still apply for it.
For graduation?
Yeah.
Wait, the class ends like next week.
Yeah.
The graduation's like 3 days later.
But no, you don't really, I mean, I guess.
I guess you don't ever really graduate from junior college. That's the point.
You never do.
Yeah.
It's really like.
You just get the diploma in the mail or something.
It's like being in the service. You know, once you're a Marine, you're just always a Marine.
Yeah.
It's junior college is that way, except for you never get to leave the Corps.
Except for fire.
You carry on, except for you don't carry on. Chris, you're not graduating in 2 weeks, are you?
I don't know.
We're going with that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
No, but we'll go. We're just going to play it safe and go with no for now.
Do you have plans for courses in the fall?
No.
No?
I don't.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well,
not
yet. It's junior. Let me explain something about junior college. You know, when you start making plans for courses in the fall, you just show up drunk
like the week
sometime mid-September and throw your peachy folder down and kick your flip-flops off and let your nutsack hang out of your dolphin shorts and you're back in class again.
Wow.
Here's how you get into class at junior college. You walk in.
You walk into the class. You're in the class.
Yeah. Yes. You don't sign up for classes. You flop at classes. You don't do anything but hang out.
Wow.
It's a huge flop house for losers.
Incredible.
That's all. Wasting everyone's time and money, except for if you're Asian and in the nursing program.
All right, I'm getting anxious. Frustrated.
All right, you ready to go?
Here we go.
But Drew, let me say this.
Please.
I've been harping on junior college for 10 years.
Yes.
And is there anything I've ever said that hasn't come to fruition?
No.
It's all true, right?
Everything you say is true.
All right. It's tough love. Stop wasting your time, Chris. Go out there and get a job. Get a gig.
I have a job.
All right. Toya?
Put that on a reel. I have a job.
Great.
That's a good one.
He gets $10 an hour for listening to me yell at him about junior college. That's really your job. You get 20 bucks a night while I sit here and make fun of you going to
What's
going
to happen to his job when he's not in junior college? Think about that.
Yeah.
What are you going to have to yell at him about?
That's a good point. We might have to let you go.
See?
Yeah, the day you go
I'm
to four
year. I'm still working on it, man. I'll do it.
Toya, 23.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thanks
hey, what's
for
up?
Taking my call.
What's happening?
Well, I was calling. It's kind of a long story, so I'll try and sum it up as quickly as I can. I've been with my boyfriend for about 3 years. Before I was with him, I was kind of promiscuous, and I've encountered some...
Were you a foster child for a period of time?
No.
Okay, keep going.
I did have
some... got strong feelings about that.
As a child. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've always been into the more violent intimacy. I like...
What happened as a child?
I had some sexual abuse as a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always been into the choking, hair pulling, cutting type of thing when I have sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's very opposed to it. He feels like he's assaulting me, and he won't ever do things like that.
Okay.
There was a period of time about a year ago when he and I broke up for about 4 months, and I did have sex with somebody else, and they had no problem doing those things. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, the guy was a long-haul trucker who was blowing through town.
He was actually a friend of mine.
Look, guys don't have trouble with anything their first... You know, couple encounters.
Right, you could whatever be a stripper, you could be whatever.
Yeah,
they're going for it.
Yeah, I'd like you defecate my mouth. Hey, done and done. Ooh. You don't even get the word mouth out. This is how it would work with me the first time. It's like, Adam, yeah, I'd like you to defecate in my mouth. It's already in their mouth before they even got the word mouth out. Zipper down, pants down, boom.
Hey, right, you're good to go.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, but as soon as he has feelings, then you can't strip anymore. Then all these weird things become just weird problems that are stuck between you.
Your boyfriend has feelings for you, realizes you're acting something out, doesn't want to, is serious about the relationship, also senses the chaos that you're trying to draw him into.
Here's the problem in situations like this. He is right in not indulging you in this because the... chaos that the physical abuse and all that is going to put a wedge between you and he as far as your intimacy is concerned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is because this is attached to who you are as a sexual being, this sort of bad self. Mm-hmm. You're so disconnected from that part of yourself that self feeling alienated and ashamed will eventually emerge, meaning you'll cheat or something like that.
Here's how the other request...
Or sabotage.
The other request sounds with me, you know, first time sexually. You know, Adam, you know what would really turn me on is if you urinated in my eye! My eye! It's burning! It's burning my eye! What?
Yeah.
I was going to say on my foot.
You're in my toilets.
That's how, see, boom.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Johnny on the spot.
Anticipate. That's what a great athlete does.
Yeah, I don't assume, but I anticipate. Yeah.
Well, what I'm also concerned about is I was doing okay since we've been back together. I haven't had any problem with that, and our sex life is fine. I recently went on a family trip, and it was horrible. And to escape, I would kind of just go by myself and take naps. And when I was napping, I would have very vivid dreams about being raped or being cut, and I would wake up very aroused by them.
Mm. Who did rape you when you were younger?
The first time was a friend of my mom's, and the second time was a friend of mine.
How old were you?
8 and 16.
Fantastic.
Mm.
Marvelous.
Yeah, exactly.
And what happened the second time?
The second time, I graduated from high school when I was 16, and I started college right away. And I was kind of naive, and I met somebody that, quote-unquote, wanted to be my friend, and I guess I put myself in kind of a bad situation, and it happened.
It's hard to know in that kind of a scenario whether or not you, as an abuse survivor, picked a victimizer, or whether you experienced just a normal sexual encounter as a victimization.
What college did you go to?
Sex State.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Graduated.
Yeah, where?
Sex State.
Oh.
Sex State? Well, true. She's in Sacramento.
Thank you very much.
Here's what my other sexual requests sound like, too. Adam, you know, it really turned me on. As if you'd finished in my... Yeah? What were you saying?
In my vagina after an hour of sex.
Drew, that was funny. See, it feels good to be funny. Get out of your system for the year.
Yeah, I'm done now. It's good.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Toya.
So while I was on this family trip, I would wake up from these dreams and be very aroused by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you made a good point earlier. It's kind of made me want to go back to the guy I was with before that was willing to do these things. But mm-hmm. I really don't want to sabotage my relationship with my boyfriend. And so I don't know how to make him comfortable.
Well, this is what I just said. You're telling me, you're repeating what I predicted was going
to
happen.
Do you have to tell him, or did you already tell him about the guy you had the interlude with during the break?
When we got back together, he wanted to know if I was with anybody.
Sure. You got to tell the truth. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Get it off your chest.
Beat my ass and flog me with his dong. That's awesome.
He wasn't happy, but he wanted to know.
And he pulled me around like a pony in my car while I gushed at him. It was awesome. You know, same old, same old. Pretty standard stuff. Anyway, you ready to go to bed?
Something I should accept, or should I go back to therapy?
What do you want to do?
Yeah, definitely.
You want to do TGI Fridays or Olive Garden tonight? Oh, the details. He cramped in a funnel and I smoked it out of a bong. Nude, crying while he urinated on me.
Yeah, so anyway.
You want to see the tape or take my word for it? It's on the internet. Just go to bongfunneldefecate.com. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, these poor guys. Oh, and you know, he's a nice guy, too.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. He had a strap on that he filled with an aerosol cheese product that came out. He had me put it on, and
Olive Garden?
I finished in his face. Then he had the cat lick it off him, and then he filmed me going down on the cat. Yeah. I'm going to go for the salad bar. Do you like the cherry tomatoes? Is it chickpea or garbanzo bean? What do you guys call it? Garbanzo?
Yeah, garbanzo beans, yeah.
Okay. Toya?
Yes?
What's this guy do? Has he been with many women?
The guy I'm currently with?
Yes, the good guy.
No, he hasn't. He's been with probably 5 or 6. He's a little bit older than me, though.
But you understand that part of you that you don't allow into this relationship, while it doesn't drive the wedge in the intimacy, it stays hidden. That part of yourself you don't get to share with him, and it wants to come out, and it's going to come out in sort of a cheating fashion. Unless you can find a way to sort of incorporate that sense of yourself that you experience as sort of bad and sexual into good sex, into real sex, you need to go back to therapy. So back to therapy. There you go.
All right. Let's
and check out the salad bar at the Sizzler. It's nice.
Let's talk to Ellie. Is that Ellie?
Well, I put this one up next because this is in distinction with that. Toya, who's way on the one end of this spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eli or Ellie is more on the sort of normal spectrum.
Hi. How do you say your name?
Eli.
Eli. All right. Well, never met a female named Eli. That's
yeah, nice. It stands for Elizabeth. I like Eli better, so.
Okay.
Well, in my theme of connecting songs to people, famous songs of people that share the name.
Eli's coming. That one I know.
Now, Drew even knows that song.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
No.
Huh? See, that now I understand what you feel like. It's like, huh?
Yeah, when you don't know the song, it's like, what do you want?
When it's not a song that you've heard a billion, jillion times.
Three Dog Night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
ever heard the song?
Chuck Negron?
No, over the weekend,
I've treated him 1,000 times, I'm sure. Go ahead, Eli.
Over the weekend, I met a guy, and like we had a one night stand. But while we were doing it, he kept on pulling my hair. I wanted to know if there's like something wrong with me because I kind of liked it, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you meet the guy?
At a party.
And you had a one night stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't like one night stands, but I was like drunk, so. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it does matter though. Really, it's.
I know.
Well, it's
it
like
takes
saying,
a piece of your soul away from you.
I was drunk when I got in a horrible motorcycle accident, so
it doesn't really matter. Yeah,
well,
who cares?
That's the next day. It does.
It just whittles away at your worth and your sort of sense of self.
Yeah, it does with women, and there's a difference between men and women in that department.
Yeah, man, it makes you kind of you're that guy, you know.
It depends how fat the chick was. I got to be honest with you. But guys, no, they don't pay. Listen, men and women are different. I know we've been trying to talk you out of that for the last 30 years, but they're different. And a woman getting drunk and sort of compromising her values, having a one-night stand, whittles away at her just a little bit more than it does to a guy, which doesn't whittle away at him at all if you're like most guys. So when a woman does this enough, it's different than when a guy does it. And I don't know why we have to act like it's different.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading some article on bonobo monkeys, and they were making this argument that we share all the same DNA, like 98.9% of the DNA. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, and you're the same people that want to ignore the fact that men and women have 90% different, you know, 10% completely different DNA.
Right.
More different than we are than the bonobo monkeys.
Sure.
And that we'll let that one go.
Yeah. I know. I know. I don't know. There's a lot of people just sit around and try to find homosexuals in the animal kingdom and then just say we're the same. That's my thing.
Yeah.
There's gay animals.
There are.
All right. Who cares? Eli?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Okay. What's up? You okay?
Well, here's the bottom line. The hair pulling thing is in the normal spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Normal. It's fine. Well, we're more worried about you sort of acting out sexually, having these encounters that aren't good for you, you don't really like, you don't feel good about. What's up? Why are you doing that?
Mm. What position were you in when you did the hair pulling?
Missionary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a weird hair pulling position.
Yeah. Like, when I was on top of him, he did it too, but...
Really?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Are you going to see the guy again? You into him?
No, probably not. I gave him my phone number, but... I don't know.
That's the point. You would like to see him again, but you know he's not going to call.
And so why do you know he's not going to call?
Listen, like when we're, okay, he has the truck and everything, we're driving, and he's like, I'm going to call you, but I don't think you'll call me back. And he kept on saying that. And he like called today, but I wasn't home.
He called you?
Yeah.
Call him back.
Okay.
There you go. He likes you. It's fine.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong. He's 44.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Mm. Hmm. Is he in high school?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Does he go to the same high school you go to?
No, he goes to a different one.
I'm just imagining the guy that Matthew McConaughey played in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Is he, goes to a different high school. He's a senior?
Yeah.
Must have been
Yes. He's going to be graduating? Hold on.
Yeah.
Chris, I'll explain what that word means after and during the commercial break. Write that down.
Yeah, graduation.
He's going to be graduating, Eli?
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you call him back? Maybe you can start up a little relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I'll tell you what. The hair pulling's fine. Use some protection. Here's what all you chicks ought to do. Go out, have your drunken one-night stands, and then just go out on one date with the guy. Just get his number, show up at his house for one afternoon, and give him to buy you an ice cream cone. That way, it goes down in the record book as I dated this guy for a while, we had sex, you know, but it's not a one-night, it doesn't go into the one-night stand thing. But
a lot of women like to think that they're liberated, and this is a good thing, and I'm expressing myself, and I can do this,
yeah.
I can, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine, but I'm just saying later on in life when you start getting those one-night stand tallies going, go on one date with a guy. It's no longer a one-night stand, and you win on a technicality. It's like when famous play-by-play announcer for the Lakers, Chick Hearns, had himself the deceased now at Chick Hearns, had himself a record where he called Laker games. He called, like, you know, 50,000 Laker games
without
in a row.
Missing one, yeah.
Without missing one, except for once in a while he'd get really sick. And so what they would do is they would just cart him in. They would just cart him in and he'd prop him up and he'd be like, mustard's off the hot dog. And then they would cart him back out again. He'd throw up. And they'd cart him back out again and then another guy would finish the entire game.
Yeah.
Which to me means record ends because you can't do the game. I know Drew hates this, but
no, I don't hate that. Technicalities are not good.
I don't think it's taking anything away from the guy. I'm just saying you made it to 45,000, but you didn't make it to 45,001 because you couldn't go in and do the game.
Sure.
It's like we talk about all these things. Like, you never missed a day of school. Yeah, there was a thing when you have the, fifth stage of mono and we dragged you in on a gurney with an IV and we pushed you through the corridor and down through the quad. You circled once and we pushed you back home. Got you an ambulance, airlifted you back to your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's missing a day of school, is it not?
Right.
All right.
Right.
All right. Drew had mono in high school.
Oof.
Man, do I wish I had mono in high school.
But hey, I had it during when school was over and we were having our senior projects. It's like a 3-week period at the end there where kids were allowed to just sort of investigate things and do these projects.
Really? Yes. How does that work? What's a senior project?
It's just something they did in my school. Because seniors did these, you know, they could go on these adventures or whatever.
What do you mean go on an adventure?
They come report about it.
What adventure?
They go, you know, travel with somebody or work under a doctor's supervision or scrubbing a bunch of surgeries or stuff like that. You know, they'd have to develop a plan, present it to a teacher, and then write about it and talk about it.
We went to the Lowry Seasoning Plant in Glendale.
I remember one that stuck with me that kind of thought was kind of interesting. A guy lived blind for 3 weeks completely and then reported about it.
Really? Yeah. 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow. No people looking at porn for three weeks.
Think about that.
Yeah. Eating and stabbing yourself in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so that was the period that you would have been doing your senior whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? What if you did know senior whatever?
I don't know. I didn't do one, really, because I was sick.
Yeah. Was it hurt your grade? Is it for one class?
No, it's not in for class, yeah. Everyone's already in college and stuff. It's all
already
over.
Already done? Oh, yeah. Screw that.
Yeah.
I'd be gone, Daddy, gone. My senior thesis would be done at the beach. Yeah, I ball in the honeys. Yeah. Oh, there's not a... You know what? There's not a human being I went to school with that I can think of that wouldn't have been gone the second that 3 weeks. Or that was just like school's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to go to an orthodontist. See ya. Oh, Drew. All right. Yeah. You wanted to do one? What would your one
remember.
Have been?
I can't remember. I cannot remember.
Now, once you get mono, can you not get mono again? Is that how it works?
Theoretically. Probably not for a long, long time.
How come no one gets mono when they're 40?
You know, how come people stop getting, you know,
chickenpox?
Stop getting colds at a certain point, too.
Do they?
Yeah, for the most part. Your sort of body doesn't react to viruses quite the same way.
Well, you get a flu, right?
You can get a flu, yeah. Mm-hmm. Think of all the illnesses you have when you're a kid.
I know, but...
You have fevers and that all the time. I mean, you start getting immunity to viruses.
I'm sort of hip to that, but it's just, I don't know. So, do kids even get mono anymore?
Yeah, my son had it like a year ago.
Oh, really?
Bad.
Lucky bastard. During the school year?
Out like 2 weeks.
Awesome. Man, I wish I had mono when I was in high school. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Girlfriend has herpes. His balls are touching it. Why does it sabotage relationships? 27-year-old.
Let's talk about the herpetic balls.
Boyfriends think our past problems.
Herpes balls.
Gushes. Okay, we'll do that in a gusher.
All right.
All that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. I want to give a little shout-out to Corey Graff, who works at the Exhibits Research and Development Management Department at the Museum of Flight.
He's who gave us an amazing book here that we gushed over ourselves.
It is, Corey over here wrote me a nice letter saying that he wrote this great book that he sent us while he was listening to Loveline every night, and he works at the Museum of Flight in Seattle, which I'd love to go to. But he sent us this great book. It's called Shot to Hell, and it's stories and photos of ravaged WW2 warbirds. Those are airplanes from World War II, and just great pictures of these bombers and
fighters
and escort planes and all these things, just holes. I mean, the condition that these planes would come back in, imagine you're going over, you know, you're bombing Berlin and you're doing daytime raids and you have to stay in a tight formation in order to hit your targets, and there's just shrapnel flying through the air everywhere because all the flak is in the air, and you have an airplane that's basically just made out of skin, like about Coke can thickness of aluminum.
Yeah.
And there's shards of just red-hot, sharp metal being sprayed everywhere in the air. You're going to have a bunch of holes in your plane if and when you come back.
And some of these are just crazy amounts of holes.
We're just looking at these great graphic pictures of these airplanes that are just riddled with holes. I mean, whole tail section shot off. You see light just coming in one side and out the other. And I think people thought, Drew, that when you're in the plane, you had like some steel plating or something around you. Stuff just goes right through it. You just hope it doesn't hit something you need, like your liver or hydraulic line or something. And these planes would just come limping back. And
it looks like they would land them like anywhere, like they're just driving a Jeep home or something.
Yeah, they would just land them, and most all of them got destroyed. And it's too bad because a lot of them would be worth millions of bucks today.
Yeah.
And there's a weird thing about World War II. We just scrapped all these planes. We
scrapped everything. Think about it.
Well, basically what happened is the jet age came a year later, and all these things were completely outdated, and they just junked them. Now you get yourself one of those Mustangs, and it's worth $5 million. You ready to roll, Drew?
Let's go.
And we made, you know, these like weird statistics, like there's a Mustang that's worth nothing now. Here's the thing, Drew. It's like they do these things like, oh, yeah, McDonnell Douglas made 5,500 Mustangs. There's three left that are known. Just crazy numbers of these bombers and these fighters and stuff where they made thousands and thousands of them, and there's literally two working ones left.
In a way, you can understand that by virtue of they were so meaningless. You know what I mean? They were so plentiful, they were cheap, they were nothing.
Right.
They were just trashed. There's so many of them.
And they were outdated. Yeah?
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Let's talk to... You want to talk to Jake?
Yep. Because the other one, we lost our other call that we were in.
Oh, okay. Jake, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Did they tell you the whole story? Or?
Yeah, tell us what you want to ask us.
Tell us everything. They don't tell us anything.
Oh, okay. Basically, my ex-girlfriend, I told him it was my girlfriend. I screwed up on that case. My ex-girlfriend, we were dating about a year ago. And she was pretty attractive and stuff like that and everything. And whenever she would give me an orgasm through a hand job, whatever, I would just put out these immense amounts of sperm, like just covering everything. I swear to God, it's like I don't know how I even have that much in me. But the thing that is bizarre is that when I was 14, I had a benign tumor in my left testicle, and I had to get it removed. So I've only got one testicle, but I'm like putting out, like it just like soaked the couch, soaked me, soaked the ground.
Your testicle doesn't produce your semen.
It's got to be awesome, though, for her parents. You guys are getting it on the sofa.
Ugh. Oh, no, it's my house. It's my dad doesn't care. He's like, he doesn't give a damn.
Yeah.
So. But, okay, I was just wondering, though, you know, like...
You're worse, your kid's a decorator. It's like, and I mean...
And we're not talking about interior design.
Yeah, that's hard to mop up. Yeah.
Well, it is your prostate gland that produces that fluid, and it stores it in the seminal vesicles, and yours must be large, so it can store a large amount of fluid, and then it mixes sperm into that. But it's not the sperm, that's just some trickles in from your testes. Your testes is not producing the fluid. And the testosterone, the testes produce testosterone, and obviously you must have high levels of that circulating around too, but one testy can produce that just as well as two.
Okay, because, see, I don't know if this would affect it, but I also have a heart problem. Believe it or not, I swear I'm not lying. I had a heart attack at 8 days old. Again, cause unknown. So
smoking,
I
would guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a million medical problems. It's not even funny. It's like I could probably
make a world record. Because you're depleting your body of all fluids every time you ejaculate.
Maybe. You must have had some congenital coronary artery defect.
Yeah, I have a mitral valve leak.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have the mitral valve leak because of the heart attack. I had a blood clot and it caused heart damage.
Perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, what else? According to the doctors, they said I have a high level of, I'm trying to pronounce it, epinephrine. Yeah, and that's floating through my body, which is, you know, like a stress adrenaline, so that may, I don't know, increase the testosterone.
All right, well, look, let's put it this way, genius. Everybody, one out of every... 500 guys is a, you know, heavy flow man, and one out of every 500 guys is a trickler.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason? No.
One of them things.
No. It's just that, everybody, with everything. I know everyone searches for these reasons, but there really just isn't. It's like some guys can jump up and dunk a basketball, other guys can't. Why? Why, Drew? Why? No reason.
They watched some videotapes about how Michael Jordan does it.
Yeah. They read a book.
Read a book by him, yeah.
Yeah. Well, their dad was a ballroom dancer. Uh-huh. So
So yeah. That contributed.
Yeah.
All right. It's getting too heavy. Let's talk to it. Do it Germany or Florida.
Mm. Tim. Tim?
Yep.
Germany or Florida? Give it to us.
All righty. A large fake penis has caused a major terror alert. Mm-hmm. A key highway was closed after a driver spotted what looked like to be a pipe bomb under an overpass. Mm-hmm. Fearing terrorists were trying to blow up the structure, police closed the interstate for an hour. But on closer inspection, police found that the device was actually a foot-long plastic penis. Someone took construction-grade plastic, molded it into a penis, and wrapped it with duct tape, said an officer. The bomb squad was brought in to handle the situation, and a remote-controlled robot used to make the fake penis safe. Germany or Florida, guys?
Giant, nah, see, my picture giant penis, I picture, you know, 3-4 stories, not a foot long.
Right.
That's a Dodger dog.
Right, that's a hoagie.
Yeah, it's a grinder. It's nothing. Wrap with duct tape, it's so sad that everything's a bomb and you gotta get the robot with the shotgun. And you know what society we're living in now?
Mm-hmm.
Some kid leaves his backpack at the bus terminal. That's it. Clear the place out. Stop the buses. Cordon the place off. Get the robot with the camera and the shotgun and the tractor tread on it. And have him go shoot the kid's backpack. And then we tear it open and we find some Lunchables in a peachy folder.
Yep.
Sad? Sad, Drew?
That's what we live in.
Sad commentary?
Sad, yep.
By the way, here's what the bomb squad should be. Bomb squad, disposable people.
Hmm.
Just, yeah,
send them in.
Guy's a three-time loser pedophile. Hey, yeah, come here. Grab that backpack and run as fast as you can. If it goes off, the pedophile blew up. Tough. What are you going to do? Put the flags at half-mast. All right, Drew, Germany or Florida?
I'm saying Florida. How many freeways are there in Germany? Overpasses.
Did you say freeway?
Yeah.
I got overpass.
I said freeway overpass.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole bomb squad and the terrorist anxiety and all that sounds American right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll go Florida.
I'm going Germany.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going Germany.
What do you got, Tim?
I'm going Germany.
All right.
Adam, as much as I'd like to say you're right, Drew, it's Florida.
Damn it. God damn!
You weren't using your head on that one.
You were just a little impulsive. I was so impulsive. Yeah. I'm such an idiot.
No, I think it's the interstate is what tipped you off.
I'm stupid, though.
Oh, interstate. Did he actually say interstate?
Probably said.
I heard a freeway.
Interstate.
I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot.
Fat. No, Adam. Adam, when you take over the world, I am right there behind you. Dude, you're not stupid. You are the greatest.
Thank you, Tim.
Shut up!
My little tack crows flying overhead. Kids playing Adam Carolla instead of Marco Polo in the pool. Going to be awesome. All right, let's see. Losing virginity.
Warda.
God, that is an unattractive name.
Warda.
Maybe she
feels... Call her who goes by Warda.
Warda? Anyone name your kid...
All right.
My mom had a friend growing up named Berta. She was about 300 pounds and had hair like Marty Feldman. And it was like...
Nice.
But still not as unattractive as her name.
And by the way, wasn't her name probably spelled Bertha? And just the hippies had to call her Berta?
Well, that's a decent point. She was probably Bertha. I never even thought about that. That's right. Jessica?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend and I have been together for a little over a year, mm-hmm. and in the beginning, well, I guess throughout our whole relationship, it's been very passionate, sex has been great, but about 5 months ago, he started antidepressants.
Uh-oh, well, there you go.
Mm-mm.
Right, mm-hmm. and so, ejaculating for him, orgasming, has been difficult, but possible, but lately, it hasn't been happening at all.
Has he changed the dose of medication?
What was that?
Has he changed the dose of his medication recently?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, he would tell me. We talk openly about it, and I try not to take it personally, but I don't know if there's something that I can do to help it.
What medication is he on?
You could be better looking.
What medication is he on?
Well, I don't know why it would have happened before. He could have ejaculated before, but now it's getting worse.
What medication is he on? I'll try to answer that.
Zoloft.
And he has not changed the dose?
No.
Well, Zoloft will shut you down sexually and can make it very difficult sometimes to have an orgasm or an ejaculation. And things can get worse with time.
Mm.
Yeah, they could.
Mm. I have heard that Wellbutrin is a better option. Although
I can't say it's a better option.
Don't they mix that with this? You take that on top of?
You can add the Wellbutrin,
mm-hmm.
or you can switch to Cerazone,
mm.
or Remeron. Or it sounds like, I suspect this was not a psychiatrist prescribing this.
It actually is.
Okay, well then he should be easy to go back and say, look, I'm having sexual dysfunction. And by the way, when you're depressed, the last thing you want is to lose your ability to have sex and be close in your relationships. It's an important issue, and for him not to bring it up with a psychiatrist is a problem.
Right, and after it happens, he gets extremely frustrated and wants to keep going and going and going, even when it's not possible to go anymore. And I don't really know how to respond to that.
Very sad. Mm. Yeah, listen.
Talk to the doctor. Get a switch. And Lexapro is one that may be more appropriate for him too. A little less likely to cause this problem. You know, there's a new thing coming out for premature ejaculation. I'll tell you about this.
Yeah.
An ultra short acting version of these medications. So, guys will go, you know, 5 minutes that you could only go 1 minute before.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Jessica.
Yes.
How long have you two been together?
About a year and 4 months.
Mm. Are you in love?
I'm in love. Like, deeply in love.
You are?
She's hanging out with this for the last 5 months, too.
What's so great about this guy?
He's just great all around. We both are in the same point in our life. We're both graduating from college, and so, I don't know, we have a lot in common. We can talk about things that are intellectually stimulating, and I'm very attracted to him, and we have a lot of the same goals. So.
Okay. You guys go into a 4-year college then, right?
Right.
Yeah. UW.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's how you know people are going to 4-year. You ever hear anyone talking about graduating from junior college? It's 2 years, yet no one ever graduates.
They do, of course. Oh, no, wait a minute.
You just never hear about it. Sorry, Chris, hold your ears for a second.
I will, man. I will.
All right. Here's my point, Drew. Seriously.
Hmm.
Would you please just listen?
I'm digging on this. I'm digging.
4-year college, regular college is 4 years. Junior college is 2 years. That is 100% more college you must attend, therefore 100% harder to graduate. Yet you hear constantly about people graduating from 4-year. Yeah, I've known hundreds of people went to junior. You never hear about them graduating. Never hear about any ceremonies, any certificates, anything. Very rare that you ever hear graduate. You hear all day, I'm going to, but you never hear I'm graduating or I graduated. Yes, you won first semester, you got put on academic probation when you're 19, and now you're working at your cousin's sofa factory. Mm-hmm. But you never hear about graduating.
True.
Never.
That's true.
Okay. Thank you.
Hear about transferring.
When you heard that her and her boyfriend were graduating this year, immediately, you know, can't be junior college. Because that is a roach motel, my friends.
Plus they're 21 and graduating, not 28.
Right.
It's another clue.
Chris is 29. Leave me alone. All right. You can unplug
your... I can start listening now? Okay.
You can unplug your ears now. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back... Herpes balls guy's back. All that after this. Yeah, everybody. Love line. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dan Finnerty is in here tomorrow night from the Dan Band. You're hip to the Dan Band, are you not, Trent?
I'm really not. You've told me about them, but I am now.
But you're going to be hip tomorrow night.
I will
buddy.
Be hip.
I'll tell you that right now. Michael?
Starsky and Hutch.
Adam? Starsky. Dr. Graham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Hold on a second. What about Starsky and Hutch?
They were featured in that movie.
The new movie.
The Dan Band.
The new movie.
Yeah. You know what I don't like, Drew?
Mm.
I got a couple of shirts and a couple of sweatshirts that are... made a certain way that they should have pockets in certain places, but they don't, and I never get tired of trying to find them.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of short sleeve.
I've got a jacket that way.
I got a short sleeve button up shirt that should have a pocket right on the breast there on the left side, and I tried to put my sunglasses in it 3,000 times, and it's not there.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this tonight. I'm wearing this man show sweatshirt sort of pullover that needs pockets, and I go for it each and every time, and it ain't there, and I'm going insane.
Yeah.
I'm also wearing sweatpants that have no pocket. in the side, just one in the ass. I'm dragging my keys, my cell phone, everywhere.
Ouch.
All right, but here's the thing. I keep going for it. Not there.
What's that have to do with Starsky and Hutch?
What does it have to do with Starsky and Hutch? Who are we talking to?
Michael.
Michael, you're 23. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I've been seeing this girl recently, about 6 months. She told me before I had sex with her that she had genital herpes. Mm-hmm. And we've been having protected sex, but I have a question. Usually when she comes, I still get some on my testicles, and I've noticed that I've been itchy in that area, and I was just wondering if you can contract sores that way.
You can. Herpes, and sometimes the testicles...
When she has an orgasm?
Some fluid gets on him. That's funny?
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Obviously the fluid can have the viral... material in it, and the testes.
Really?
And the testes sometimes.
Not really, though.
Yes, that's a common thing.
Common.
It's a common way that the condom doesn't protect you. If it's going to fail, this is how it fails.
Well, yeah, but not. It's just more when you say the fluid, you just mean the
contact. The fluid's got the viruses floating around in the fluid.
No, I'm hip to that. I sort of actually meant the projectile fluid.
Oh,
I thought she was a gusher and you know like a cobra spraying venom.
Yeah, no, you're nuts are pretty close to the action there.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying, and sometimes they don't manifest ulcers.
Mine are in the action
on the testier vesicles. They
in
just get
the action.
Nice. Well, they fit right in there.
That's
nice.
Right.
It's yours.
Yeah. What happened to the mongoose, Drew?
Went the way of the dodo.
It used to be a lot of mongoose and cobra talk. Now it's no more mongoose. Snakes are still around.
Cars
I wonder about the mongoose.
Anyway. Cars were called mongoose.
Sure.
But here's the deal, Michael, that sometimes the testes don't manifest a classic appearance of the herpes. They just get red and sort of inflamed looking. They're sort of like testes are on fire.
From
herpes.
But they don't get...
That's herpes.
Lesions.
You may not see the lesions, yeah.
So will that spread to my penis?
Not necessarily. That may just be where your herpes are.
Mm-hmm. All right. You ready to rock?
Mm-hmm.
There was Ricky Tikki Tavi.
What is that?
He was a mongoose.
Oh, yeah?
Animated. It's a lot of mongoose stuff. Bikes named mongoose,
cars
named mongoose,
and bikes,
mongoose and snakes fighting all the time. We're not so enamored with the mongoose anymore.
Who was the mongoose race car driver?
That was there was the snake. That was Don Snake
Prudhomme.
I would go Don Garlitz, but I don't know.
That's Daddy Don Garlitz. No.
Big Daddy?
No, mongoose. We're going to look that up. Mongoose, 1960.
Those were both. There's one car was sponsored by Army. The other was sponsored by Navy. Do you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Army Navy cars. Kirsten.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
21.
I'm sorry. What?
You're 21.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's up?
Well, I just had a question. Just needed some advice because.
Just do it.
I just don't know why I keep sabotaging anything in my life right now. It's just my relationship, because as far as like I've gotten a hold of my life, but I mean, I know it's just a pattern, but I just want to know how to stop it, because I'm just sick of it.
Go ahead. What's going on?
Well,
I'm not even listening. I'm trying to figure out who drove the mongoose.
Me too.
In the 1970s.
Didn't his name like Sam something?
Think in my head. Maybe it's Billy McEwen.
Ooh.
I'm going to try to figure this out. Keep going, Kristen. We're still going to focus on our Hot Wheels from 1974.
Who cares? All right.
Go ahead. It's like a Mustang, the mongoose. Remember?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Not really.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a Mustang.
Or Camaro or something?
Mustang. Yeah, it's hard to tell funny cars. Go ahead, Kirsten.
I just wanted advice. I just want to stop this pattern, because, I mean, I just don't want it to affect my life again right now.
What's happening right now? Give me some details about what's happening currently.
Right now it's just my relationship. I always do something. Usually I'm drinking too much and I just go crazy and it affects my relationship. And
Are you a trauma survivor? Somebody abandoned you, leave you, abuse you?
I had a messed up childhood, but I got over that. I mean, you know,
no.
Wait,
you don't get over that. This is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you got over it? It obviously has a profound effect on you. It affects how your brain is wired. It affects how you tolerate relationships. It affects how you behave in relationships. It affects how you regulate emotions and how you turn towards drugs and alcohol as a means of doing that.
Mm. How messed up was your childhood?
Everything. I mean.
All right. So that requires treatment.
Get some therapy.
If it's around drugs and alcohol, oftentimes recovery will address that very nicely, but it takes a long time in the program to really get through a lot of this deeper stuff.
I just want to say what's up with Tiffany. Tiffany.
Yeah.
Anna. You're 19.
Yeah.
27-year-old boyfriend thinks her past problems are ruining sex now.
Well, not so much ruining it. I mean, mm-hmm. when we first got together, it was all hot and heavy. But when mm-hmm. I told him what happened to me when I was living back in Arizona, he just kind of, like, distanced himself from me now.
Well, what'd you tell him?
Well, I was raped repeatedly a lot. And ever since I told him that, our sex life has just kind of...
Who raped you repeatedly and a lot?
Well... They were illegals, I guess you could say. They were from Mexico, because I lived close to the Mexican border. Mm-hmm. So they would come across, and I lived on a dairy, so they always worked on the dairy. Then they would just jump me from behind and whatnot. And
how
I
old
told
were you?
About it. I was, what time?
Wow, it's awful.
Wait a minute. Your family owned the dairy?
No. My dad worked on the dairy, and... I guess they were my dad's friends that did it to
Sheesh.
Me.
Well, I mean...
It makes things worse. My parents didn't do anything about it.
Ugh. Were you 16 or were you 8? Or how old were you?
No, I was... It spanned out from, I'd say, about 13 to 16.
Wow. It's awful.
All right, but something's up here. I mean, your dad's an alcoholic or there's some abuse or something. Hang on, Tiffany. We got to take a break. I want to talk more about this dairy rape.
It's interesting. It's Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
Mm. Thomas Hardy book.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the Hardy Boys earlier tonight.
Huh?
Tiffany is 19. Tiffany, call us tomorrow night. I want to talk to Tiffany first thing about
and
this.
And Tracy, too. I was on Tracy.
Yeah, I want to talk to Tracy, too. I'm interested about this illegal dairy rape cross.
Screener, see if you can get those two calls set up for tomorrow night.
We'll take those a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Well, there you go. Another fabulous show. Safely in the vault. The Dan Band in here. Tomorrow night, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Adam.
Yeah.
I'd like you to defecate in my it's already in their mouth before they even got the word mouth out.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.